get up and go home. We see here that once the son had decided to go home, we find here that he on his way, while he's walking, his father sees him from a great distance, and his father does not wait for him to approach him. But his father goes out and meets him. Come on and say amen. That lets us know, and what Jesus was trying to show us, is that God does not wait for you to get to him. But God will come to you wherever you are and whatever condition you're in. I don't care how stink your life is. I don't care how bad off your life has become. You need to know that it does not hinder God from coming to you. Come on and say amen. And so he said he came to him and had compassion on and ran and fell on his neck. He didn't go and walk and say, I'm going to see if that's my son. He recognized who he was. And you know one thing about God? I don't care how bad off you become. I don't care how different you become. God still recognizes you. He still identifies who you are. He knows exactly who you are, where you come from. He knows who you are. And so he comes with not judgment. The Bible said he didn't come and say, I told you not to leave. Why did you leave? But the Bible said that he came down with compassion. He came down with love. He came down and said, you know, it doesn't even matter what you smell like. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter that you've been in the hog pen. It doesn't matter that you lost everything that I gave you. It does not matter. But what matters is that you've come back. What matters is that you repented. What matters is that you turned it around. Oh, come on and say amen here. And look at this. What I love about this father is that he kissed him on the neck. Come on and say amen. He grabbed him around the neck and he kissed him. Come on and say amen. And so when he fell upon his neck, that lets us know that he didn't mind getting in close. You see, you can't gross God out. Some church folks may be gross. I can't touch him. I don't want to deal with him. Don't want nothing to do with him. Got to get away from him. They don't smell right. Something ain't right. Something smells fishy. I don't think so. I think something's going on. But forget those church folk. But the people who chose the Father, they're just like the Father in this subject. The Father went and had compassion, fell on his neck, and wasn't worried about anybody that said, what is he doing? He wasn't worried about it. He said that he kissed him. And not, you know, the thing about that, it shows an intimacy. God is eager to be intimate with us. God really wants us to be with him, and he wants to be intimate with us. He wants to be up close with us. He doesn't care what we look like, what we smell like, but he wants to be up close. He wants to be intimate. And look, it's one thing to hug somebody, but it's another to kiss them. Come on. It's one thing to hug him and say, you know, he got a little something on him, but I'll hug him. It's another thing when you kiss somebody that got something. Come on and say amen. And the son began to repent. The son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Now, the one thing I like about this is that
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Help me preach this by turning to your neighbor and say, neighbor, stand your ground. Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, stand your ground. Now say to yourself, say, self, stand my ground. Now give God some praise if you plan to do that. Finally, my brethren. Finally, my brethren. Listen, Paul gives this notice, and he puts finally, not in so much as that is the last thing that he's going to say, but in the reality and the context of what he's speaking about, he truly emphasizes the point of understanding that believers need to be strong in God. No matter what goes on in your life, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what attacks come against your life, you have got to have a resolve to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, when we talk about, again, standing your ground, when he talks about putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to what? To stand. The reason you're putting on all of this armor is so that you are able to stand. And then he makes clear what you're standing against. The wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, the traps of the devil, the deceit of the devil, the doings of the devil. You have got to have armor on to protect you, especially when the devil has an onslaught of attacks that again, you need to be prepared for, because it can hit you low and knock you down. It can hit you high and knock you down. And so that's one of the reasons why you've got to recognize that first you've got to be strong, but after you're strong, you still have to be armored. You still have to be protected. And so I like when he starts off saying, finally, my brethren, he's talking about believers. He's not talking about people in the world. He's talking about children of God. I want you young people to hear me. I want the people of God to hear me. He says, be strong in the Lord. Now, this means your strength that's going to fight supernatural powers, deceptive, demonic, devilish powers, is not going to come from you. Did you hear what I just said? Don't you fool yourself into thinking you are any match for the demons, less known the devil, in your own strength. You've got to know that Paul knows what he's talking about. You've got to know he knows about demonic warfare, spiritual warfare. He knows the power of the enemy, and he doesn't take that lightly. But he wants us to understand that our power is not equipped to handle the onslaught of the enemy's power against the flesh. Paul has dealt with this. There were some sons of Sceva, seven of them, as a matter of fact, who had a reputation, family, of being good men, faithful men, men of the cloth, etc. But they did not know the Lord Jesus themselves, which is a helpful holy hint. Just because mama know him don't mean you know him. Just because big mama and grandpa and all the rest of them have a keen relationship with God and can call on him and talk to him and use that name in warfare and things happen. If you don't have a relationship with him, don't think you can do the same. Seven sons of Sceva heard the power of Jesus Christ and using that name in warfare, how he was changing the atmosphere, changing conditions, changing situations, etc., etc. They got the bright idea, we're going to use the name of Jesus to do the same. And they used that name of Jesus against demonic forces, and the demons started talking to him. Jesus, we know. And Paul, we know. But who are you? Boys, check the record. See if you see their name on the record of folk that we are looking at that's got power. All seven sons, we don't know who you all are. And guess what they did? They tried to stand, because I got news for you. The devil knows who you are, what you are, and how you're connected in the spirit realm. Don't matter what you look like in the natural realm. A lot of folk think, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Devil like, what? Now, here's what they get scared of. They get scared of the name of Jesus. But when they check the record to make sure that you're connected to him and find out you're not connected to the power, they get upset because you scared them for nothing. So the Bible says they jumped on him and beat them up. Matter of fact, whipped the clothes off him and ran him out in the street naked. Because they were playing with the name of Jesus. Don't be fooled. Don't let the devil mess with you playing with the name that you have no relationship with. And brothers and sisters, you can't buy him. Don't care how much money you have. You can't inherit him from your daddy, your mama. Don't care if they were the pastor, mother of the church, don't care if they, you know, deacon mother, don't care. You can't, you got to know him for yourself. So he says, finally, my brethren, those who are born again, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, be strong in, that's relationship, the Lord, and conjunction here, in the power of his might. That power is of the origin that comes from, that begins with his might. In other words, the power that you get from comes out of the mighty resources of God's power, or the mighty source of God's power. That power that you receive to stand gives you the ability to stand not based on your own power, but on God's power. And that power will never run out because it's connected to his might. Might. It has to be distributed through the vein of power, because his might would shatter everything. So as a believer, you get to tap into the might through his power, and he strengthens you in this way. I'm going to share some things with you about this, but I want to keep on going through just a little bit further. And then he commands us, be strong, one. Then he commands us to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Well, why am I putting on the whole armor of God? I don't think I need all of that, do you? Well, first of all, let's just take a quick look at, because verses 13, 14, 15, 16, all of the and 17, all of those begin to open up an understanding, a greater understanding of the armory of all of the pieces of the armor. Now there are six, and then sometime in verse 18 added is 17 pieces to the armor. First of all, you've got the girdle of truth with a belt that ties around your loins and that keeps you together. Then there is the blessed breastplate that covers your heart, your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, and your midsection. And then there are your boots that shod cover your feet. So that's for all different kind of terrain, mountainous, valley, rough, smooth, watery, dry, all kinds of terrain. Your feet are covered so you can take the gospel of peace everywhere you go. But then it talks about the helmet of salvation. It talks about the shield of faith, and then it talks about the sword of the Spirit. Now, in verse 18, if you include prayer, then it's called the spear of prayer. So it's six or seven pieces to the armor. Two of them would be offensive. That would be the sword of the Spirit and the spear. Those two are the only two offensive. The rest cover and defend the rest of the body. So here you're going to notice that the whole armor of God gives you both the ability to stand in defense of every attack that the enemy brings against you. But you have two weapons that are used for the offense. That means to strike out against him. Because saints, believers ought to know that there is a time that you ought to be defending, but then there is a time you ought to be offending the enemy, depending on what the situation calls for. The problem with a whole lot of us is we've got the defensive armor on, but we don't know how to use our sword. So that means you could never put the devil on attack and on the run, because all you've got is the weaponry that tries to keep you defending yourself and keeping him from taking you down. I need you to know you need it all. Tell your neighbor, you need it all. You need it all. Now, listen. Verse 12 goes on to tell us where this demonic power hides from. Rita, why don't you read verse 12 for us? Listen very carefully.
Verse 12. For we wrestle not.
Wait. Here's what I need you to get straight. We wrestle not with flesh and what?
Blood.
Flesh and blood. So I'm going to come back and make a point about that when you finish the verse.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
One.
Against powers.
Two.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Three.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
All right. Thank you. Now, there are four areas that these attacks come from, and none of them are physical. All of them are spiritual, but they are attacking your flesh. Now, here's the point. Young people, I need you to hear this. When you stand your ground, It's not standing your ground just in the flesh, but in the spirit realm. In the flesh, you have a part to play, yes, to stand your ground. But I need you to know the real attack is not just the physical attack, but it is the real spiritual attack. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. You know, when we were younger, you know, when we were challenging somebody else that made us mad and we were going to fight, and you know how all the children hang around or whatever, and then somebody reaches down or take their foot and draw a line in the dirt and say, I dare you to cross that line, right? And it would be on if they crossed the line. But now when they, you know, and then others use, you know, put something on their shoulder, I dare you to knock that off my shoulder. You know, and then if they knock it off the shoulder, then, you know, it's on and popping and all that kind of good stuff. But here's what I need you to understand. You draw a spiritual line in the spiritual dirt against the spiritual beings that come against you. It is not a physical thing. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down, in God, to the pulling down of the strongholds. They're mighty in God. They're mighty in God. Listen, every piece of armor was spiritual. Remember again, girded with truth about our lives, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the gospel of peace, our helmet of salvation, our shield of faith, our sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if you use the spear, that's prayer in verse 18. All of that is spiritual. Now, that literally means you are drawing a spiritual line upon which you are challenging the enemy not to cross. Not to cross. But don't get this twisted. If the enemy crosses it, and he will, you don't stand up and start fighting the devil. You know what you do? I'm going to help you because I see a whole lot of you been beaten, battered by the enemy trying to act big. You step to the side and say, all right, Jesus, get him. This thing is spiritual. This ain't physical. This is spiritual. You can't fight the devil. That's the Lord's job. He just wants you to take a stand. You see, the devil messes up when he looks at you standing and don't see who's standing behind you. And when he crosses the line, you merely step out the way and say, all right, Jesus, he's all yours. Because he doesn't see our elder brother. This ain't our fight. We come up with all that mess. We sing it in our song. Watch, fight, and pray. Watch what? Jesus told his disciples, can you not watch and pray? When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told Peter, James, John, watch with me 1 hour. When he came back, kept waking him up. The last thing he said, watch and pray. But guess what he didn't say? Fight. Back in 2 Chronicles 20th chapter, when the prophet had to tell Jehoshaphat, you shall not need to fight in this battle because the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Well, then what am I supposed to do? Stand? Lord, I wish I was helping somebody today. See, you are trying to fight the wrong battle. That's not your battle to fight. God just needs somebody who will stand for him. Stand. got three things I want you to know about this. First of all, you must stand as a person who is saved and blood bought and washed by the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer. You are standing because God has called you, has saved you, has redeemed you. And in this earth realm, you are a representative of Him, young people. You got to recognize that when you leave this church and go back into the world, go back to school, go back to your neighborhoods, go back to your family, go back into the marketplace, in every place you are, you don't belong to you. You belong to God. You are a person, an individual whom the Lord has saved. He gave His life for your life, paid for your sins and your penalties, gave you a right to the tree of life, and now you represent Him in the earth realm, and you are an individual who will stand for Him if you have to stand all by yourself, because you no longer belong to you. Don't care what everybody else is doing. Don't care what your peers are pressing you and telling you to do and to try. You belong to Him, not them. Them didn't wake you up this morning. Them didn't give you your mind, your heart, your thoughts, your feelings, your body, your strength, your none of them didn't do none of that for you. He did it. Them didn't save your soul. Them don't make intercession for you before the Heavenly Father. Them can't answer your prayers. Them can't do anything for you that's greater than He can do or has done. And your faithfulness and your loyalty should be to Him and not them. Why do we spend so much time trying to fit in and get in with folk who are going nowhere? Consider their lifestyle. What is it they really have that you want that your God can't give you? Who are they really that God made them to be and then turned around and made you to be? You are so special to God that He didn't make anybody else like you. Stop trying to be somebody else or what somebody else. That's fine. Yeah, I can appreciate what God's done in other folk life, but He didn't make me to be other folk. That's right. That's right. And so what I've got to tap in on is what God is doing in me, because I'm responsible and accountable to God for all He does in me. So I've got to stand as a person who personally stands for God. I may be the only Bible some people read in my school, on my job, in my family, on my block, in my friendships and relationships. I may be the only one God is speaking through, dealing with, talking to, reaching through to get to others. And when I won't be the person God's called me to be, I'm hindering what God has made me to be for His glory and for all who's connected with me good. So I've got to be the person God's called me to be. That's point number one. When I make my stand, when I stand my ground, I've got to know this, that in order to stand, I've got to stand. Can't stoop. Can't bow. can't bend, can't sit. I've got to what?